Blog Talk Radio.
Is anyone there? Testing, testing. Is anyone there?
Hey, Spooky Lou.
Yeah, I was just completely quiet. I wasn't sure what happened.
We were waiting for you. Hello, everybody.
Oh.
Good evening.
I was too busy sipping on some wine, relaxing, getting ready. You know, got to keep myself sexy on the radio. I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, I guess Sananoki, is he here?
He should be chilling in the simulation.
Like everyone else, right? Well, anyways, how was your day?
Peachy, how was yours?
It was good. You know, I took care of some errands, ran around, lived life, took a nice walk, sat down in the park, watched the sunset, did that yesterday too, and it's had me thinking about life. What's this life about, you know? And I like to normally go out in the middle of nowhere and just be by myself and have a spiritual moment. And I was watching the water and the way, like last night, I was watching the moon rise. And just looking at the water, the way it looked. And when I was looking at the water, what I found fascinating is I couldn't distinguish the water compared to one of my video games when I play around in the water. And I remember looking at that, and it was kind of freaky because it made me think, wow. Like, it made me think, is that water fake that I'm looking at? Or is this real water? Like, is this real life? Or I can't tell the difference. We did, like, that much of a great job with video games that now if you look at certain things, it looks like the real deal. But it made me think, well, how can we really tell the difference? You know? And with that said, Ed, did you find that interesting? Try it. Watch a video game. Go out there and look at the water. And then try looking at the water itself and see if you can tell there's a difference. And I'm telling you right now, it's pretty scary because it looks the same. And it reminds
me. I don't know, man.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm a water child. So
I love water myself. I love water myself, but it bugged me out. It kind of made me scared, right? Because it's one of those mind blowing things where am I like going crazy here, or am I thinking far fetched? But so I start looking into this, and let me tell you, to be honest with you, as a kid, I've always had this type of mentality, I would literally think that one day I was going to wake up and this was like going to be a dream, this life, and I was going to wake up in a real world. And I remember in my teens when I saw The Matrix, it blew my mind because I was like, oh my God, that's what I used to think when I was a kid. I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. Like, I felt good about it. I wasn't crazy. Because I've always had that feeling, like, this isn't real. Like, or could it be? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But as you do more investigations, you look further, and there's a lot of scientists today, including major, major influential people today, that are beginning to accept and believe that we are living in a simulation. Did you know this? Creepy stuff?
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Seriously.
No, I had no idea that there are scientists that are really
oh, my God. Let me blow your mind. Well, let me blow your mind. I believe it was 2016. There's a scientist named Jim Gates, sorry. This guy's pretty cool, man. Like, I like him, right? He's pretty much the first scientist that I heard about this from. This guy works on, he's a theoretical physicist, and he works on all kinds of, like, of course, right, math, and I don't know what university he works for, but this guy has proven, or I believe he can prove that Einstein's theories are real. So he was working on this new kind of math he came across, and it's so complex that it's pretty much new, right? But what he started noticing is that in every single aspect of the math, everything he worked on, he started noticing that there was something called error correction codes. Now get this. Have you ever heard of an error correction code?
Yes, in conversation.
You have.
I have.
Uh-huh.
But go
okay.
ahead and explain it to
uh-huh.
everybody else.
Okay, so if you don't know where you find error correction codes, you find them in computer programming. So the mind-blowing part mm-hmm. of this math is, why is it that in every single aspect of level of this math that they come across, they can apply it to space, to just anything. And if you do so much of it, you start coming across error correction codes, which means that there's something actually holding mathematically, it's mathematically being held together somehow. We don't know what's beyond that, but this is accepted by he came up with this math. There's also another doctor, I believe he's a philosopher. His name is, I forgot his name. I'm not good with names. You know, I'm terrible with names. But he works with Elon Musk, actually, right? And he worked actually. Yeah, his name is Nick Bostrom.
One of my favorites.
You know Nick Bostrom?
No, one of my favorites is Elon Musk.
Elon, everybody's favorite, yeah. Right? The guy's like Iron Man, the reality, not the movie. Break it down. Elon Musk actually has invested in this doctor, Nick Bostrom, because he believes that the probability of us living in a simulation is, it's the other way around. The probability is, we're one in a billion chance that we are in a simulation versus reality. Because if you do so much math, it's probably too deep. But if you do the math, they're saying that if there's this one reality, that could be a billion simulations. So the chances are we live in a simulation. But, creepy stuff, did that blow your mind?
You definitely have me thinking. I will say that.
Oh, good. So share your thoughts on this simulation reality. You think it's real, or it's just a way we cope with life, not understanding what spirituality is or why we are here? Of course, this is something that mankind's been contemplating for years, I mean, from the beginning of time. So what are your thoughts?
So, okay, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I will be honest. I have had maybe some of our day-to-days were absolutely part of simulations, right? I started watching a show back in, 2016, I think it came out. It was called Westworld. It was on HBO. And it
Westworld,
was
I remember that. I remember yes. that show. I never watched it. I watched a little bit, but I could never get to finish it. So, yeah, tell
I couldn't
me,
really
explain
get
what
into it,
is. It
past a certain point. And so basically, it was the government had a simulation, right, where people would pay, kind of like an amusement park. They would pay to come in, and they could just do whatever in Westworld. And it was a Western-themed type of ordeal. So people would come in, they would pay a price, they would get, like, time period clothes, and then they would be injected into this simulation. And, you know, they interacted with the AIs, I guess you can call them, right? They would have been AIs. Interacted with them, you know, and they programmed them to be able to respond and react to the people who were paying to get in. But, of course, it was something like only the rich people were able to do. So I saw that. And then, of course, I saw The Matrix, all of them, right? And it really started to make me think.
You just made me think of something. So maybe
what?
We're rich. Maybe we're rich. We just don't know we're rich.
Well, see, and I was thinking the opposite. Maybe we're living in the simulation, right? Think like, okay, cool. So think of it like this. Maybe we're the ones who are living in the simulation, right? We do our day-to-day activities. We live our life regularly. And the 1%, you know, the government people, the people who have connections to the government, the people who have money, those are the people who are coming into the simulation, right, into our world, just to basically tinker around with us, do whatever they want to. Think about all of these high-profile murder cases, right, or all of these people in power who actually come in and they kill or they manhandle, or how the government has come in and stolen land and taken land and never received repercussions for it. Why? Is it really that our government is that corrupt, or are they running this simulation in their favor where they can just do the things that they want to do, not be caught, not be seen, not have to have any kind of recourse for anything that's going on? How do we have such major things happen one day and then they just magically, poof, they don't exist the next day?
I don't know, but I don't like that. It's depressing to me. Maybe I'm poor, but I'm not real. I like my idea better. I'm going to wake up and be like, I'm rich. I'm rich, bitch. Nah.
I even need to. Look, if we could wake up and say that, I'm with it.
I know, right? Well, yeah. But,
oh,
no,
man.
Anything's possible. The fact that, oh, wait a minute. You know, I just thought about that. We're missing Lou. Where is this crazy dude?
Yeah, where is Hanakori?
I have no idea. This guy's always on a journey on different levels.
Oh, man. He got lost in the simulation.
As usual. Used to be me. Now it's this guy.
Oh, John man.
Also. But, but anyways, yeah, no, you know what? Anything is possible. And like Westworld, I remember a little bit, but not really. But you're right. Anything's possible. You know, I had another discussion. I was, as a matter of fact, speaking with my brother about this, you know, and he was saying, I told him the theory about the Matrix and the simulation and that this is a reality, if this world is real. And he was telling me that he's like, he believes it makes sense that this world is a reality because all the atrocities, like you said, that occur,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the stuff that occurs, you know. But then I've had this discussion with someone else who put things into perspective, and they were sad because they felt that if this was a simulation, that means that God is not real. And they didn't want to accept that, and they were heartbroken because they said that, you know, we are living for nothing. There's no point in actually living or doing anything because if it doesn't mean anything at the end, does it? But the truth is, even if this is a simulation, I mean,
what if God is running the simulation?
Yeah, exactly. What if it's God? It kind of goes into last week's show when I told you that I read that thing where they were doing these tests with hallucination stuff, right? And these guys astral projected in the military, and they said that they saw what they could only describe as God creating space. And you're right. What if there is a simulation, you know, but God is still real? It possibly could be. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to do a few shots after this. This is definitely mind blowing. And so, yeah.
I mean,
do you have any more?
Definitely something.
Go ahead.
Is definitely something to consider. I mean, we do have a lot of things that we can use as, you know, as speculation. Like, look at the whole idea of déjà vu. You know, it's already been seen. That's exactly what it translates to in French, already been seen. So if we have déjà vu, is it really déjà vu, or are we glitching?
Well, you know what? That's interesting you say that, and it's true. So, you know, and it's funny because there was you ever watched Blade Runner?
You said Blade Runner?
Yeah, that movie.
Nope.
No? Oh, my God. I love the original one. Yeah, like, oh, man, as a kid, I was always into sci-fi and all this. You know, just so for people to know.
If you were a kid, I probably wasn't even born yet.
Oh, my God. Really? Just tell the world how old I am. Thank you. I appreciate the love. Wow.
Oh, man, I got to Google when it came out. Let's see if you really are as old as I think you are.
Oh, man. So, like I was saying, just so people know, as a kid, I was always into the paranormal, and it's because of my personal experiences, you know. It really expanded my mind, and as a child, I was really out there with the sci-fi. I just loved it. And when Blade Runner came out, like, I fell in love with Blade Runner. That, to me, was like,
oh,
wow.
Holy crap. Yeah, I wasn't born yet, Lou.
Well, I wasn't born either. I'm just
saying.
Oh, no, I was around. Well, what am I? I'm lying. So, I was kicking cans back then.
I wasn't even a thought. I was so cosmic dust.
You were still being programmed.
I was still being coded, exactly.
There you go. I was thinking about you, but they weren't sure yet. You're in the plan.
Yeah, it took them
later.
5 years then.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because you're talking about that because the guy that made the movie, his name is Philip Kinzer, right? He's the director. He made Minority Report, too. He back then really was pushing that we live in a simulation as well, that we live in a simulated reality. It's not real. And he said the only time that you can tell that we were living in that simulated in the matrix, right, in a simulated world is when you have deja vu or something like that occurs.
What?
Right? Yeah. And I believe that. Because how many times you've had deja vu and you're like, wait a minute, this happened before? Was I here before? You know,
man,
like I've had.
Deja vu doesn't work for me, unfortunately. So I sometimes wish I could have the reaction that you guys have, like, oh my God, where did I see this? When did this happen? No, I see things, predicting future things. That's how my dreams work. I don't dream. It's just either a future prediction or something that's already happened in the past, or I'm talking to dead people. So, unfortunately, deja vu, I never really get it. Like, oh, deja vu. Nah, it's like, damn, I saw this in a dream. It's really going to happen.
Are you there?
Oh. Lou, can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you. Yeah, man. I don't know what happened there.
What's
the government? You talking crap about the government trying to hold me down. I glitched. your fault. Holy crackers. What the
well,
hell was that? Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, apologize, but I miss what you said.
But yeah, so it makes sense. Deja vu, deja vu makes sense. We have the Mandela effect too. So
well,
that's
you know, before you bring that up, I also wanted to share when it comes to deja vu, I also learned through natives up north that deja vu means you're on the right path. So when you get deja vu,
really?
it's solidifying that you're on the right path where you're supposed to be. I like that, right? It's pretty deep.
Yeah, that sounds that makes it sound more affirming.
That it's a simulation?
No, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Just in general, like, you know, if you get deja vu, it's just like, oh man, I saw this already. I remember this.
Exactly.
It's like, all right, now I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm going the right way. It's like that positive affirmation that you need to continue to move forward. So that's
exactly.
A good way to look at it. Simulation or not, it's a good way to look at it.
It is. It is. And you're right, right? So you want to go, let's talk about another few years ago when you said the Mandela effect. Another one. Why don't you share with everyone what the Mandela effect was, just in case they missed that one.
Mandela effect. Definitely one of my favorite things. So basically what the Mandela effect is when a group of people or a large group of people all remember one thing, right? But it's completely different from how it actually happened. It would be like, for all intents and purposes, let's say you, me, and Sanakori, you know, we all remember one thing happening with, I don't know, a UFO, and then seven other people that we're with, they don't remember ever seeing it, but we know it's there. We see it's there. We have pictures that it's there. Right, and these seven other people were just like, "No, we have no idea what happened. What do you mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist."
You know? I hate that. I could get drunk because that's happened to me before. But no, absolutely, you're right. You know, it's a very weird thing. I that was a touchy one because
it's hit or miss. Like the okay, the Monopoly guy, right? Everybody knows
mm-hmm.
the quintessential idea of who the Monopoly guy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask some people if he had it, well, first off, does he have a monocle or not? Does he have that one little circle over his eye?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He does?
Well,
no, I'm asking
thing.
You.
This
does
thing.
He have it? Does he
I know,
have a monocle?
I know. Well, this is
well,
what I'm going to answer you.
That's the idea of the Mandela effect. So many people are just like, hell yeah, they absolutely had it. He absolutely has a monocle. And then other people are just like, no, he's never had
one.
He
does.
Who
yeah.
tells the truth?
Well, I don't know.
But
that's the thing. I mean, maybe,
swear to you, he has it.
Maybe they're both telling the truth. And that's the thing, you know, maybe people are getting confused with, like, the peanut guy. Remember that peanut guy walking around with the monocle?
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, that's the thing with the Mandela effect, isn't it? This is an interesting thing because I felt the same way when I heard about it, like, oh, my God, could this be real? You know, but at the same time, it's like, or is it our memories that are flawed, which is most likely our memories are just flawed. But, I mean, you're right. It's deep, right? What is it like, Jeff? Peanut butter, is it Jiffy or is it Jeff? I can't remember.
Jiff,
what that was
right.
One of those.
Yeah.
You know,
Jiffy.
Jiff? Jiffy, yeah. Or Sex in the City. I remember it was Sex in the City. All of a sudden, it's Sex and the City. I'm like, I never knew.
Wait,
I always thought it was
and
Sex
and the City? I thought it was Sex in the City.
All right, see, now maybe I'm wrong. We got to Google that real quick.
All right.
Sex in the City. Sex and the City. See, it's Sex and the City.
What? Since when?
Yeah.
I feel bamboozled.
Look it up. Look it up.
I refuse. I don't want to be wrong. No.
Exactly.
It doesn't exist if I don't look for it.
Yeah, well, it exists, and it's Sex and the City. I always do it as Sex and whatever.
I always
whatever.
Do it as Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Of
no,
course, this is what we get hung up on, though, right?
Yeah. Good topic, I'm just saying.
Who's that? What? I know I heard something.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was... Where is
good
Lou? Time. Lou, where are you? Is he there?
Can you hear us, Hanagori? If you hear us, like,
can.
Flash something in the sky. A little
yeah,
lightning.
Yeah, some more blue lights. Come on, brother. So, what
exactly.
Are the, what are the things?
Blue light. Mm-hmm.
Blue light. That, there you go. Is it reality or is that a simulation? Oh, and the interesting thing that Dr. Jim Gates said is that he said if you're going to accept this theory, then you have to accept the theory of ghosts.
Really? Oh, I like this guy.
I know, it's pretty amazing. You said if
he's
you're going to accept
my heartstrings.
This theory. What am I reading? What is going on? Is possession today? What's
going on?
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know what that is, man. That's not me. I have no idea
what
that is.
Is that throat singing?
Or some demon. I don't know. That's what
no,
I heard.
It
I
absolutely
know.
Sounds. It sounds like throat singing.
Oh, my bad. No disrespect. I didn't know. That damn simulation. You know?
Oh, my goodness. The simulation is throwing us off.
Seriously. But no, it's the Mandela effect. You see, it's an interpretation of what you heard and what I just heard. You know, it's just different things. One of when that thing came out, when that conspiracy theory came out, there was a kid. I don't know if you ever came across it on YouTube, and they were calling him a genius, and he was like supposedly in like some I don't know. He was already on his way to being a scientist, but he's like 10 years old. And he started saying the reason that we are in a simulation, and that's why we're having the Mandela effect, because we already live in a simulation. Yeah. Another reason why the Mandela effect started and that whole nonsense started was because there was a guy on Reddit who posted saying
on Reddit.
That, yeah, it was on Reddit, and he posted saying that we live in a simulation and that he was going in just letting us know what's going on, but in reality the whole world's been destroyed and there's just a few people left. They're like drones or something or droids, and they're making sure that, you know, this is our consciousness put in a simulation, so we're not really here, and they're just keeping up with the simulation so we can live.
That sounds just like Westworld.
Okay, so maybe that's where they got it from. I'm not sure, but it went viral. And that's where the idea also came from, the Mandela effect. Yeah, it's another thing. So this kid was saying that all started because of the semiconductor out in Switzerland? Is that what they have, the superconductor? Do you know what I'm speaking of? No?
You're talking about the really big tower?
The underground semiconductor that they created in I think it's a semiconductor. I can't remember the actual name. Oh my God. It's in Switzerland. It's underground. And people were scared saying that.
The Hadron Collider?
It's supposed to, there you go. The Hadron Collider. That's it. I was on a blank. And
man, you
left me
out smart.
What? I left you on what?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they were saying that what he was saying, it's because once he activated it, we all died. There was an instant black hole, which people believed there was a possibility of that occurring. And then that's why now today we live in a simulation and we're really all dead.
That's interesting.
You never heard of any of this stuff?
I've never heard of that theory.
Okay. Yeah, have you heard of other theories?
About the simulations? No. No. conspiracy theories, you know.
Okay.
The government.
Okay.
The government is trying to control us. So population control happened and, you know, they moved in and most of us were, you know, wiped out, and now we're in a simulation that they're trying to control because world power, blah, blah, blah. But
that's
interesting about the superconductor.
Yeah. So, but that's actually a conspiracy that you've heard of, that we're in a simulation and superpower that's trying to take control?
Yeah, the government trying to take control through the simulation, absolutely. Something similar to the Matrix. Actually, when I was in high school, I had a social studies teacher. We had to do, I think it was U.S. politics and government or something like that, world politics and government, I think was the name of our social studies class. And we had to take the class in order to graduate. And she was a really dope teacher, really dope teacher. And she had us all watch The Matrix. And at the end of The Matrix, we had to write a paper, right, about how The Matrix emulates our governmental system. And I don't remember who the kid was in my class, but one of the kids in my class was just like, they went off. It turned into like a two-page report that was required to a whole damn thesis on the government, the chain of government, the chain of command, and of course how it mimics what was going on in the Matrix, but how we really are in a simulation and how they interject themselves into these positions within the simulation to garner this leverage over certain things. Like, how are there so many people that are this wicked minded or this unethical is a better way to put it, that they're just allowing all of these things to happen without justice, right? And their reasoning was, well, it's because of the simulation. In order for them to be able to continue to run the simulation, to continue the Matrix and the way that it is, all in its theory, they have to be able to allow these people to get what they need to get done in the fashion that they see fit. And we all were in awe when they got up and explained it, because here we are talking about democracy and, you know, regular crap regarding the government, and they gave us this whole conspiracy theory about the government, you know, doing the simulation, and we just all sat there like, holy shit, you're going to the nut house.
Yeah, your teacher actually asked you to write a paper on the Matrix.
Yeah, she was dope. Her name is Andrea Battle. She's a really dope social studies teacher.
Wow, I had social studies. I always think, wow, she must have smoked a lot, but that's insane. Like, straight up. I like that.
Yeah, she was a dope teacher. And she, you know, that was part of her curriculum every single semester. I think it was two semesters that you had to have the class, so you had it like half the year. But every class that she did, everybody had to watch The Matrix, and they had to, you know, explain how The Matrix parallels with our government. And like I said, that kid came up with this idea of, you know, this simulation that we're in, and, you know, these people really being able to create these and place themselves in these scenarios to really run the government in this systematic way of literally coding exactly what they want to happen, how they want it to happen, and justify all of the injustices that are, you know, happening, all of the war that happens, you know, none of the repercussions that should happen. none of the regulations that should be happening, all of it, just through all of that under the realm of it's because we're in a simulation, it's because we're in the Matrix.
Well, I want to say this, right? Anyone out there that's listening and want to call in live and share your personal experience of a glitch, the number is 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. And I hope Lou is there. I believe he's there, and he's going to help.
This is Rocky.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Hey, there we go. What an entrance.
That's right, man. I had to come. Yo,
champion.
I had to pull. I had to push. I had to crawl to get on the show. I can't believe it. Guess what happened?
What happened?
My laptop reset or updated twice.
Wow.
So I don't know if
it's that. It's because Keepy Steph was talking about the government. That's why.
Why you got to blame me?
And it's the weirdest thing because Creepy Stephanie and I, we were talking right before the show. And then it just reset it.
She
what do they call that? Updates? Updates? When it updates the computer?
Yeah, it's an update.
Yeah, absolutely. The way it,
and it did it
updates
twice.
Reality.
It did it twice.
Wow. It happened.
So I'm glad to be here, man. You guys sounded great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You sound good as well, Lou. So now you're jumping in. You know, since you're the spiritual guy, what are your thoughts of this whole reality of simulation going on?
Well, I tell you, man, The Matrix, right? You guys saw that movie, right, The Matrix? Also, what's that show called on Netflix? Black Mirror? Twilight Zone?
Wow, I never watched it.
Out there?
Twilight Zone.
Huh? Yeah,
I never
man.
Watched Black Mirror.
Yeah, I've never
you know,
watched Black Mirror either, but I have watched Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Black Mirror is something else. But you guys got to check that out. Got to watch out the episodes. I don't know, man, but you know what's interesting? A lot of people talk about the existence of God, right? And people talk about fate. Like, you know, when something happens, you know, you say, oh, man, God willed this to happen, you know, and this and that. Well, sometimes, you know, most of us think like that. Most people I know are that, like, you know, it's fate, right? If it happened and it was meant to be. You know how people would talk like that? It's meant to be?
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So in a way, that's kind of simulation in the sense of, is there a God pulling the strings? You know, is there some kind of power being that kind of, there's an appearance like we have free will, but are we free? I don't know. These are the questions I was thinking today. Are we truly free? Or this is just a setup? I don't know. Uh-huh.
So it's interesting. You're saying that as the reality, we really think we're free, but we may not be if this is just a simulation, which is coded to act a certain way.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Once again, that's
something I was thinking
kind
about.
Of depressing.
I know, right? But I know you guys are talking about deja vu too. Like this happened before. Like today, I was making a flyer for the show, and I felt like I did this already. Like I did this already. We talked about this. I was so sure of it. You know? So it's like, wow.
Really?
Are we being programmed or reprogrammed, or are we doing this all over again? Is this the test one or just the real one?
But, that's scary.
Huh?
Go ahead.
But I tell you one thing, you know, I do psychotherapy, and there's a lot of patients that come to me who suffer from anxiety, and there's a few people throughout the years have always mentioned to me a kind of interesting symptom. They could be walking, and they can see, it's almost like, you know, when you see a video, or I should say you see a movie, and it's like a like the TV screen has like a glitch. What do you call that? They do it in paranormal movies. It's like the screen jumps or something.
Oh, like yeah, I think I understand what you're trying to describe.
Right, it's like a jump in the screen,
like a little static.
That's it. So there's people that tell me that actually have to be medicated because they can see that static. In reality, they can see a static, and it's like they're almost walking in slow motion. You know, and it drives people
really?
Mad sometimes. Yeah, I've seen
wait
that.
Wait a minute. So people now, are these people dying or are they just sick?
No, they're just suffering from anxiety. And then sometimes it leads to depression because they don't know how to deal with this, and there's no medications to take it away. So they've learned how to deal with the glitches. They call it like a glitch, where they can see reality as we know it. All of a sudden they see that static.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be looking at someone, say a mom. They can be looking at their spouse, and their face turns into this electric static, like, you know?
Are you serious? I've never heard of this.
I can confirm that because I do have anxiety, and I did when my anxiety was at its peak. That would happen, more so with faces and objects, not just, me walking in the street, and it would happen in general, but it would happen, and I would always think it was something wrong with my glasses because, I wear glasses. So, I thought it was, an issue with, like, my astigmatism or something like that. But it did happen every once in a while where it would either blur out or, it really was like a glitch.
Yeah. Or sometimes people experience, like, being like stone.
Do me a favor, right, Stephanie? Look at it from my point of view. I can't understand what you're saying. Try to describe exactly the moment and what it was and what it is that you would see.
Okay, so do you have an astigmatism at all?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay, so usually when people have an astigmatism, right, they have light refracts differently, so it looks like a big firework kind of situation when you look at light. And that's because the shape of the eye changes. So when I would have my issues with my anxiety attacks and my panic attacks, when I was getting really overwhelmed and I'm trying to repress it and just, deal with everything that's going around me, it was kind of like a sensory deprivation almost, where it would, as far as sound would zone out a little bit. So it would kind of muffle. And then next thing you know, it would just be this literally what looks like a glitch in a computer screen or in a TV screen.
That's
and it would just do it very, very quickly. Like as you blink, it would glitch, you would blink, and then when you open your eyes again, it looks regular all over.
That's it.
A glitch.
And it's just not consistent. It would just happen every once in a while. And like I said, for me, it was any time that I got really, really overwhelmed. So mid-anxiety attack, mid-panic attack, in the middle of being just completely overwhelmed and bombarded, it would just glitch. And like I said, I always thought it was my astigmatism. But if Lou is saying that's interesting because I never, ever, ever thought of that. I never... In any way, shape, or form, I've never even heard of anybody who had that same kind of reaction or response.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just thought
it
was weird.
I see it a lot in people, like, very very small percentage of people even talk about it. Hello?
Yeah, I had PTSD. So I thought, originally I thought it was something that had to do with that.
Feedback. It's some feedback somewhere. Hold on.
How about now?
All right, we're good. It's some feedback somewhere.
Well, I don't hear it from my end. So continue.
I don't know, I hear it.
That's the glitch.
There you go. The government again.
So, Steph, thank you for sharing that, because that's pretty deep. What about those other you were going to say there was something else that they experienced.
Well, I know some people, when they walk, when they have extreme anxiety, they're walking almost like they're on quicksand, but the floor is solid, but they feel like they're going through the wall, through the floor, and it causes a lot of motion sickness in people. It's like they go right through the floor. It's like an optical illusion almost, and people get really messed up.
Wow. So it's like they're not feeling reality anymore.
Right. It's like the floor doesn't exist, and they go through the floor, and sometimes they trip, they fall, they break, they. I know one lady, she broke her arm, and she was freaking out. They had to give her medications for it. It's like she was sinking in the floor.
She was freaking out because she felt like she was falling through?
Like when you walk, it's like you're going through the floor. You're sinking in the floor.
Okay.
So they had to give her anxiety meds. It's like an optical illusion almost, but it's like the floor is solid, but you feel like you're going through the floor. So maybe that's a glitch in the system. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. No, it sounds. Yeah, exactly. Huh? Sounds like something pretty interesting. You know, of people that are leaving the earth, and maybe they're getting ready to go to wherever they have to go to. Right? It's like even science, right? When you break it down, right? What are we, atoms? And they say that atoms really keep us together. It's what holds us together. Isn't that awkward?
What?
If you break us down molecularly, right? They say that that's what keeps us together. But if you break it down even more, we're like, we could be separated. That's awkward.
Well, see, and that's the thing, though. They say if you do move fast enough, you can walk through walls. No, seriously, scientifically speaking, when you do the math behind it, if you can move the atoms at a certain speed, you can phase through solid objects. Again, mathematically, you can do it. Can somebody physically do it? That's a whole other topic. But if we're talking about paranormal and we're talking about conspiracy theories, I mean, hey, if you're falling through quicksand through solid floor, are you phasing through or not?
That's interesting too, you know.
Conspiracy theories.
There's a lot of conspiracies out there, but I tell you, simulation, wow. We're being programmed somehow. Well, we're definitely being programmed every day.
How?
We are being programmed. Look at the media. The media programs our minds all the time. How many people walk around really being cheap? They believe everything they see on social media. They believe everything they hear on the radio. They believe everything they see on TV. It's targeted to literally program children into adulthood to not think for themselves. So many things. That's absolutely some kind of form of programming.
You know, I was watching a documentary. I think I told you, Stephanie, right? The documentary on food. It's What the Hell?
We were talking about
What the Hell?
Mm-hmm. What the Hell?
Huh? Yeah, and it talks about.
Yep.
They were talking about the scientific scientific breakdown of cheese or milk, dairy products in your body, and how harmful it is. But what happens when you go into when you're a little child, especially in the public schools? First thing you see in the cafeteria is milk is good for you, you know, the milk mustache, right?
Mm-hmm. And milk is the worst thing that cow's milk is the worst thing that you can have because you're not a baby cow.
There you go. And they have pizza Fridays, right? There's always that cardboard pizza on Fridays. So then again, there's that cheese. So we're being, you know, our children are being stimulated to eat this stuff. You know? I remember a couple of years ago that they were serving some stuff. What's it called? It was like green slob or something, some kind of slob or something. Not a slob. What do they call
slob.
That? Like a sludge? Huh? Like
ew.
It was green. And there was a whistleblower. You remember that? Like 4 years ago? It's like some kind of.
A donde? En la escuela.
It was green. The substance was green, and you can make anything out of it. It was like slush, some kind of slushy material. And the public schools were going to use that for the kids. And it was
ew.
A whistleblower. Yeah. Yeah, you make anything out of it.
No. Ew.
Yeah.
No, gracias.
I forgot. Huh? Yeah, but there was
the children. You know what the biggest question to me is, right? What does any of that have to do with living in a simulation? Oh,
We're being simulated to live a certain way.
That's
away from nature.
Why do you think we're being simulated? And who's doing the simulation?
The government. Te estoy diciendo. Yo, if nobody else, it's absolutely the government.
Your
if
brain,
we are living
people,
in a simulation. Well, yeah.
That?
How else? They would have to. Like I said, through the programming that we do have on the TV, people are already being sheep. You know, people are already forming ideologies just based off of the things that they see, the mindless dribble that we have programmed on TV, the reality TV that really isn't real, that everybody believes is real and they're trying to emulate, you know, things like that program certain ideologies in people just in general. So, you know, the reason why we don't have the same kind of thinkers that we used to have, the reason why we don't have the same kind of philosophical ideas that we used to have, the reason why we're not as advanced in certain aspects as we were once before, it's really because we're being taught not to think now. Everything is a convenience at this point. So the amount of technology that we've been able to create is now starting to hinder the general population, and it's creating a slew of people that now are able to just Google it or hey Siri, you know, Alexa, can you tell me X, Y, and Z? You know, people don't have to think anymore. So the programming that's allowed to happen through what is seen, how we spend our time, how we take the time to try and evaluate things or not evaluate things for that matter, that is a real form of programming, whether we're in a simulation or we're living for real in the real world, you know, exactly how we all think we're living. Either way, in either aspect, there is programming going on in that capacity. There definitely is. Like I said, whether it's a simulation or not, that's a whole other story. But we are being programmed. We definitely are. And it comes down to who is going to be susceptible to those thoughts and those ideas and who is going to actually push back and say, hey, look, stop being a sheep and do what you're supposed to do. You know, you have this information. Research it. Look it up. Don't just fall into the theme of listening to the person in front of you and actually do the work.
Hey, guys, check this out. Check it out. I found what I was talking about before. The USDA says that no more than 50% of each serving of beef consists of pink slime. Pink slime. It's a processed meat byproduct. Can you believe that? And it was approved to serve to cafeteria school kids.
Of course it was, because the government could care less about us.
McDonald's, Burger King, and Taco Bell pledged to stop using the treated meat, pink slime. So they stopped using it, but they were using it.
Ew. That's gross.
So, and this is the government. The USDA approved 15% of it. So is that simulation? What is the reason for that?
I mean, honestly, it's just because our government doesn't, they don't care about us.
Wow.
Because I bet you there's going to be very specific demographics that you're not going to find that in.
Wow. See, that was a report by CBS News back in March 8, 2012. USDA school lunch meat contains pink slime. Look at that.
Ew.
So what's that all
That's
about?
That's gross.
But it was banned. Eventually it was banned. Public outcry, you know?
I would hope so. That's nasty.
Oh man. I think you got an echo there.
I think that's your mic, Sanakori.
We're back with the DMT show. Can you hear me, the echo?
I can hear you. And I can hear me.
This is reality as we know it.
Oh, man, the simulation is screwing with us.
Yo, if anyone's listening out there, don't be afraid. We are still indigenous Taino folks trying to figure this out.
See,
back in 1491, we didn't have these issues, huh?
No, because we didn't have TVs back then.
Oh, man. But
we
I tell you, this
is to see the future. That was it.
Well, we had the Cahoba. We were able to travel to the outer rim.
Mm-hmm. Huh? That's true, too.
Man, those were the days when you can just chill in the Duho and just travel to past Pluto, chill with the old Bahikas of old.
Back when Pluto was a planet.
Yeah, it was just chill out. Did you hear that echo?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
That was weird. I lost you guys again.
No, it was now we have an echo. We're back in the DMT.
Yeah, Jerry. There you go.
Yeah.
Now I can hear you. So awkward. It's getting a weird night.
It really has been.
Yeah, I miss what you guys are just saying.
What happened?
I miss what you guys were just saying. What were you just saying?
Oh, Sonic, what are you talking about? The pink sludge in the school kid lunch.
Oh, okay. So, Lou, I have a question for you. I want to pose a question, right? I don't know if you heard in the beginning that there's this Dr. Jim Gates. He said that he did, math. He reached the level of math where – did you hear that when I was speaking about that in the beginning?
No, I didn't hear that. What happened? It was resetting my computer.
So Dr. James Gates, he pretty much started this whole topic where it started getting around 2016, I believe, or 14. And he was doing the theoretical physicist, right? He was doing a lot of math. He did so much math that he came across what's called error codes in the math. Now, the only time you find error codes, is in programming. It's error correction codes. And what it is, that's what keeps everything in place. So if you are programming and you make a tree in a simulation, behind it, there's error correcting codes that keeps everything else together so it won't come apart. He was saying that he doesn't understand why the math he was doing, that across everything he applied it to, he keeps finding error correcting codes, even in space. What are your thoughts behind that?
What? That's kind of out there. Wow. I mean, so there's codes in the math. That's what you're saying?
So there's in the math, right, applied to our world.
Right.
There's similar math you find in programming when you do computer programming.
Oh, is that the 000111?
No, that's part of it, but that's I forgot what that's called right now. No. It's some other math. It's called error correcting codes. Yeah, it's pretty much that, the Matrix stuff.
Damn, you know why? Because I remember the Birdman of Inwood. He was a genius when it came to math, and he used to do all these calculations.
Well, let everybody know who the Birdman was and who he worked for, and then explain that.
Well, the Birdman, James Cataldi, he used to work for NASA, and he worked for doing computer programs, software. Then he went to Wall Street, made a good amount of money there. And then when 9/11 hit, he was traumatized by that, and he just started dedicating his life to the North Cove in Inwood, New York, cleaning up this toxic river by the East River up there in Inwood. Cleaned it up. Took him several years, and he recently died. He always used to say he had blood poisoning from the cleaning he did. But he used to share his math with me, and his math was out there. And the math that he used was like, you know, for computer program. I mean, what he used to come up with the softwares. That was pretty deep, man. There was one math equation he sent me, and he said, I figure out mathematically who is God or what is God. And he sent me all these mathematical equations, right? And at the end of this, of the math equation, he created a circle. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
The math actually created a circle?
Yeah. The equations that he did, the equations and the answers, all what he was doing on paper, it turned into a circle. It was linear, and then certain answers led to this geometrical shape, circle. It's freaking amazing. He did it all by hand. It wasn't computerized. He did it all by hand, the equations. I was like, what the hell? He says, this is the highest. I can't get any higher than this, he told me. And it was a circle. So I said, wow, the natives, you know, we have this concept of the circle, that it's not lineal. It's a circle, the universe. So he used to have all these different equations. We'll come out to these geometrical designs.
Did he ever say anything about us living in a simulation?
He was shy away from that. He was always kind of scared of sharing that stuff. But all he would say is, like, there are powers in control. And that's all he would say. His father was part of the Manhattan Project, so he has some connections to that.
So what do you mean the powers are in control? What does that mean?
He wouldn't elaborate, but we're definitely, he would, you know, there's the puppet masters. There's people pulling the strings. Nothing's an accident. Everything has a purpose, but it's not from a divine. It's from people, you know, powers of be. People in power pulling the strings. But he was very shy about, he was very reserved. He didn't want to get further into it. You know, but he used to get, in the beginning, he used to get beat up. He used to get arrested all the time, you know, and so on. He would talk about artificial intelligence. He was out there. A lot of people used to think he was crazy, but he was a genius when it came to math. You know, at one point I remember he had a military equipment for communications, wiring and stuff like that. So he knew what he was doing.
Why do you think they would beat him up? Why do you think that he was going through that?
Oh, no, well, they beat him up because of activist work, you know, cleaning up the area in the North Cove. He was cleaning up the river and stuff. And he was bringing exposure.
Conspiracy.
Well, he was bringing exposure to what companies were doing, dumping their toxic material in this river, this cove. So he was kind of exposing that, which the government was doing nothing to arrest people or penalize people. So he kind of exposed all that. And he got sick, eventually killed him, those toxic chemicals that he was breathing. So, he's fighting for the cause. But
let me ask you this. On a spiritual level, do you think that this is a bad way of viewing things, or this is just another way of human beings cope with life when they think, when they come up with these, you know, ideas or conspiracies?
I don't know, man. I saw the math. It looked real to me. You know, through mathematics, he created this circle. And I don't know. It's just, it was interesting. Can't really answer that. But I know he was, something spooked him that he wouldn't really talk about it. He was very careful not to share. But he knew he wasn't alone, that he was being watched. And, you know, he was real careful about stuff like that. So I believe he knew a lot of secrets, you know, but he wouldn't share them. Maybe just trying to protect me too, I don't know. But yeah, it wasn't easy. But he was almost like haunted by a lot of these memories.
Scary thought. Scary thought. But once again, I have a question. Do you think you ever possibly seen something where you felt like this was a non-reality and this is a simulation? But not when you are going through, you know, a spiritual journey, but I mean like sober, like walking down the block home one day or something like that.
Oh, I understand. Well, sometimes I get, you know, sometimes, you know, I suffer from anxiety too, PTSD and stuff, but sometimes I feel like I lose reality for a moment. People think it's an anxiety attack. That's what I've been diagnosed with, but I tend to lose reality. I get intoxicated almost. I've been to doctors about this, you know, a sense of almost being stoned, but you're not. It could be DMT, I don't know, but I tried DMT, and it's not like it's something else. It's like you're not rooted in reality. It's almost like you fall asleep, but you're not asleep. So I've experienced that many times. Huh?
Got you. But you never walked around a block and saw something where it's like, that made you say, like, wait a minute, this can't be real. This is not reality. Or how is that possible in this physical world?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I used to hold on to the wall. I'm like, what? I'm not in reality anymore. Like I was in a cloud, like a fog, you know. And a couple of times I had to go to the ER because I thought I had a stroke or something, but there was nothing wrong with me. But it happened quickly, though, you know. It was like I had even a MRI done to my brain thinking that I had a stroke, but it was nothing. It was just like this fog, you know. I get very really similar experience with DMT. Like you're entering like this fog. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that because you know, like the doctor Jim Gates, right? He was saying that if you do accept the reality, I mean, if you do accept that we're living in a simulated in a simulation, then you have to accept that ghosts are real. And I've heard many stories where people have had experiences where they see someone that passed away while they're all awake. Course is a paranormal show, but on a different level, you know, like there was a famous wrestler, he said there was another wrestler that died, you probably know the story, and his best friend who died, who was a wrestler, there were pro wrestlers, came back, he saw him in the house when they telling him to get out of the house because it was burning down or there was going to be a fire. Somehow he came back and saved his life knowing he was dead. That to me sounds like a simulation, but it's also paranormal because it's a ghost. What are your thoughts on that, both of you?
Yes, Stephanie, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about saying that anything related to the paranormal would be to a simulation, because quite frankly, I don't want to know if we are in a simulation or not. You know, I feel like that would really change a lot of perspective for me. I guess going back to the conversation, Lou, that you had with the person who had their sentiments about, you know, not having the purpose, you know, what are we living for if there is no God because we're in a simulation? The experiences that I have with the paranormal, the experiences that I have with spirits and, you know, ghosts and helping people move on and move forward, being able to tap into that wisdom every once in a while. If we were in a simulation and that was literally me just programmed to be able to have those experiences, I don't know, I feel like my identity just wouldn't be the same anymore. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't think I can say that the paranormal would be inclusive to, or, you know, inclusive with simulations. How you did describe earlier that scientist who said, you know, if you believe in, I don't remember exactly what it was, if you believe in something, then you have to believe in the paranormal as well. I kind of more so agree with that idea, that concept, because everything, scientifically speaking, right, everything does get broken down into atoms and neutrons and protons and, you know, physical matter, right? So a lot of the experiences, and this is all just playing devil's advocate, a lot of the experiences that we do have, we can try to break down to a neuroscience level where, you know, we can dissect the brain and the way that it works, the way that the neurotransmitters present information and how they can almost short circuit depending on the environment and how you treat your body, right? So I would like to say that I don't think we're in a simulation. I don't think that we're living through a simulation. I think that neurologically we are being programmed in some instances, like I said earlier, when it comes down to entertainment and the things that we see and we read. But as far as in the matrix, being coded, being able to have some people come in and out of that matrix itself, you know, being able to be plugged in and uploaded, I don't think so.
It does sound very complex, but I could see it from your point of view as well. Definitely an angle. But I believe we have a caller, because they were listening to what you were saying. I think we may have a caller that wants to chime in and share their story. Is that correct, Lou?
Yeah, he's called a self-proclaimed conspiracy theorist indigenous. Let's go for
please. All right, let them on.
Sapada. Oh, dale, sapada.
There you go.
I knew that guy's gonna come back. Keep his way in there. He's been following us for years. 2018.
Lou speechless.
He's so bothering this dude, man. Whoever he is.
Yo, what happened?
I said, I don't know who this guy is, but he's been doing this for years now. But go ahead.
That's it, man. He's been assimilated just doing that, man. You're following Yare's tradition.
Yeah, I see that.
So, yo, man, we ran out of time. We're way over time.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, everyone, that participated, especially you two. You know, let's see next week what our next topic will be. We'll keep you posted, and I'll see you in the next reality. You guys have a good night.
Oh, man,
have
good
night.
Good night,
guys.
Take care, guys.
Who's that? I know I heard something. They're going to come and kill me. I know they will. They're listening to me. What am I going to do? Oh. I heard you. Oh, I need you running. There's nowhere to go.
Oh, okay.
Help me. I need some help.
Help me.
Oh my God, I heard that. What are you doing?
No,
don't do that.
Oh.